All right, good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves this week in Parshas Baloscha. So there are many different parts of Parshas Baloscha. I actually want to draw your attention to something that at first glance you're going to ask yourself, out of all the topics in the Torah, why is he focusing on this? But you're going to see, actually, I'll tell you why it caught my attention. Look at number one. This is from Perek Ches, chapter 8. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'emor. Kach es halavim mitoch b'nei Yisrael, v'tiharta osam. Kach Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, take the levim from amongst the Jewish people and purify them. Now remember again, just a little bit of context. Remember originally that avodah, sacrificial service, was supposed to be performed by the Bechorim, by the firstborn. But remember again, as a result of the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu swaps out the firstborn, the Bechorim, and goes ahead and instead inducts the tribe of Levi. Just before we go on, our shir tonight is sponsored by Abe and Sylvia Zeltzer in memory of the Yahrzeit of Sylvia's mother, Chaya Bas Zev, Zichron Livracha, and the merit of a refuah shlema for Chaim Yitzchak Meir Ben Tzivya. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nesham will have an aliyah and the Chola complete and enduring refuah. So we go on now in number one, Pasuk Zayin. V'chos sa'aseh lohem. So how exactly do you induct the Levim? So now remember, so God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to go ahead and induct, consecrate the Levim into the service of the Mishkan. Wonderful. What is the process by which we accomplish that? V'chos sa'aseh lohem l'taram. This is what you should do to purify them. Hazei alehem mechatos. Sprinkle upon them mechatos. Now mechatos, of course, refers to the water of the Para Aduma. Remember again, if somebody becomes Tamimis, somebody becomes ritually impure through contact with the corpse, so the halach is we take the Para Aduma, we burn it, we take the ashes, mix it with water from a spring, sprinkle it on the individual twice during a 7-day period, and that purifies the individual from any type of corpse impurity. So go ahead and sprinkle upon the mechatos, ve'eviru ta'ar al kol bisaram. Now this is very intriguing, and cause a razor to pass over to shave their entire body, v'chipsu bigdehem v'hitaharu, and literally wash their garments and purify themselves. And then the Torah now goes on to the sacrificial services. V'lachu par ben bako min chaso solus bulu b'shemen upar shini ben bakar tikach l'chatos. And they have to go ahead and bring a bakar, bring cattle, bring a mincha, meal offering. V'kraftas halavim lefnei olamoid v'kaltas kaladas b'nei Yisrael. And you shall again bring the levim before the Olmoy, the Mishkan, and ultimately you shall gather the entire congregation of Bnei Yisrael. So remember, that gathering we're not going to get into right now, but the idea is that after you purify the Levim, you have all of Klal Yisrael gathered, and so to speak, Klal Yisrael appoints or officially inducts Shevet Levi into the process of the Avodah in the Mishkan. So what I want to draw your attention to is two things. First of all, the mechatos, the notion that we're purifying the Levim. So what exactly, why the need to purify the Levim? But of course, and I don't know why this just caught my attention now, what seems very strange is what? The shaving of the bodies, right? The giluach. The shaving of the bodies sounds exceptionally strange. It sounds like, you know, like it's like a fraternity or something over here. You know, what like some kind of induction. What exactly is happening? They have to shave their entire body. What does this have to? I'm sorry. They're shaving off their payas, but they're literally shaving the entire body. So what is the meaning of this particular shaving? And obviously, again, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to instruct the Levim to do it, it means that there's some type of symbolic meaning associated with it. What is that deeper meaning? And of course, again, remember, the beauty of our Torah is that in every detail, there's contemporary and profound meaning for us. So meaning, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instructing Moshe Rabbeinu to do to the Levim, to induct them into the service of the Mishkan, has some type of contemporary profound relevance for us as well. So let's try to explore that together. So first, to take a look at the Mechatos, why the sprinkling with the waters of the Paraduma? So if you look at number two, Rashi says, Hazele Mechatos, Shel Ifer HaPara, Mipnei Tinei Mesim Shebahem. Now, you know, what's interesting is one of the things that's not often discussed within these parashios is whether or not people died in a desert. Meaning, we know for a fact that people died in the desert. Who died in the desert? Correct. Meaning everyone over the age of 20, right, as a result of the sin of the spies, Chet Meraglim,
3,000 plus people who were killed as a result of participating in the Chet Egel sin, the golden calf. But you know, it's always intriguing to think, like, did people die of old age in the desert? You know, there were so many miracles happening. Did people just stand die of old age or not? So obviously, the Torah doesn't tell us that. But Rashi seems to indicate that there were people who were exposed to corpse tumah. So whether that's from the Chet Egel or whether that's from other people who just died, the point that the Torah is making is the Levium, before they assume their newfound responsibility in the Mishkan, must make sure that they are ritually pure and therefore must undergo the purification process. In number three, the Chizkuni writes, Hezah aleim mechatos, lefi shemikhan ve'elech mutal aleim lohorit ulahakim es ha-mishkan, Now, this is very interesting. So what the Chizkuni says is like this. The Chizkuni says, remember, one of the responsibilities that Levi had in the Mishkan was the transportation of the various utensils. Right? Remember, again, it was Levi who ultimately, carried the ark. It was Levi who carried some of the other service utensils. So the Chizkuni says, in order to go ahead and carry the service utensils, so one must go ahead and be ritually pure. Therefore, says the Chizkuni, it's impossible that at some point in time they weren't exposed to corpse impurity, and therefore, again, halacha l'maaseh said they needed to undergo the process of the paraduma, the sprinkling on days 3 and 7. So that's the mechatas. Again, remember, this is the easy part to understand about the story. There's the possibility that they were exposed to corpse impurity, and therefore, before participating either in some form of temple service or the transport of temple utensils, they must go ahead and purify themselves on days 3 and 7 with the sprinkling of the waters of the Parah Adumah. Fine. But now for the rest of our time together, we are going to focus on this giluach, on this shaving. So skip to number 5, Rav Chaim Paltiel. So Rav Chaim Paltiel writes, he says, Ve'aviru tara kol b'saram, they shall take a razor, right, on their entire, on literally on all of their flesh. So he writes, Perish, al kol basar halavim, umegalchim kishar b'nei adam. So first of all, the Chizkuni, Rabbi Chaim Paltiel says, this is not a full body shaving. It's not a full body shaving. When it says, Ve'aviru tar al kol basaram, you see, we assume kol basaram means what? Their entire body. Chizkuni says, no, excuse me, Rabbi Chaim Paltiel says, what it means is, they shave the parts of the body that are normally shaved. He says, Kishar b'nei Adam, like other people, v'lo rosho, he doesn't shave his head, v'gabos einov, doesn't go ahead and shave his eyebrows, sheginai hu ze lohem. So Rav Chaim Paltiel says, it can't be a full body shaving. Why can't it be a full body shaving? Because they would look ridiculous. Right? Can you imagine the Levium showing up in the Mishkan? Ultimately, again, with their eyebrows, everything shaved off. So what are you trying to make a mockery of them? It just looks bizarre. So Chaim Paltiel therefore says it can't be that the Torah means to shave all of their hair and all of the hair on their body. Rather, what it means is they have to be groomed. It means that don't show up for work on the first day unless you are properly groomed. You know, there's a halacha like this. The Rambam brings this down, that the Kohen Gadol was obligated to cut his hair how often?
Every day.
Kohen Gadol's every week, right? But the Melech, the king, was obligated to have his hair cut every single day. Why? Because people who occupy a position of prominence, people ultimately, again, who are looked to for national leadership, must look the part. It's interesting. The Torah places an incredible amount of emphasis on external appearances. That's why, again, there is, not in a shallow way, but an idea that if you have an important role to play in life, which we all do, you must look the part. Which is why, you know, there's a very severe Gemara that says that a Talmid Chacham who walks around with a stain on his shirt, so the Gemara says, Talmid Chacham is Chayiv Misa. Right? The Torah scholar is liable to a death penalty if he walks around with a stain on his shirt. So what's the pshat, right? What does that mean? Such a severe idea. The idea is because the Talmud Chacham is supposed to represent Torah, supposed to represent the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you are going to represent God, you have to look good for your parts, right? You have to be put together, you have to be groomed, you have to be neat, you have to be clean. And therefore, again, says Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel, that's what's happening over here. Chadosh Baruch Hu's just telling Moshe, tell the Levim they have a really important job, a really important position, and the way in which they take pride in their position is through their external grooming. He goes on. He says, "Va'afa gav d'bimetzor k'siv v'galach eskov saro zekanov v'gabosinov." So remember again, even though by the mitzora, remember, so lest you think that we don't have a concept like this of somebody shaving all of their hair. It's not true. By the mitzora, the person who has saras, at the end of their purification process, they do shave off all of the hair on their body. So we see that it does exist. To which Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel says, "Lamana shikutz." Ultimately, the manashikotz means that's because the Mitzorah was afflicted with illness. That illness was a result, ultimately, of a spiritual failure, and therefore, again, symbolic of their ridding themselves of all of that disgustingness, they go ahead and they take away all of their hair. So again, so approach number one in understanding the full body shaving of the Levium is, first approach, is that it's not a full body shaving. First approach is ve'avir tara akobatim, just simply means groom yourself. Make sure you look good, make sure you look clean, make sure you look neat for your job as part of the Levitic core, and that is the ongoing obligation upon Shevet Levi. Fine. If you take, yes.
Isn't the Torah a message that Torah is that as an example for somebody that's getting all the body shaved?
That he's using as an example for what?
That it was a Zion for them? Somebody said it somewhere.
It's possible. I'm not familiar with it. Korach's wife?
Yeah, Korach, when she incited
him. Ah, okay. Makes sense.
As contrast to the wife of Ben Talib.
We tried to say, interesting, yeah. Interesting. Take a look at number six. Let me show you a second approach. So Shamshon Lefal Hirsch goes in a different way. Now understand, the Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel is a little bit alone on the island over here because everyone else understands the pasuk as it's written, namely that you are shaved, that the Levim are shaving off all of the hair. So Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel is unique in that he understands that ve'aviru tar al kol bisaram, kol bisaram doesn't mean all of their flesh, kol bisaram means over the parts of the flesh that are normally groomed. So if you look at Rav Hirsch number 6 says, that ha'avaras tar'a kol basar, completely shaving all over, is meant to impress the mind with giving up all isolating selfishness. We believe we have repeatedly recognized. If then this complete shaving of their whole body at the time of their induction into their office brought home to the minds of the Levites in the most impressive manner the complete cessation of any hitherto living for themselves and the complete giving up their whole lives to the service of the community, it is easily understood how such a stripping of the man of action from all belonging to himself, such placing his person in the service of national purposes, demonstrated the entry of man of action into the realm of moral freedom in the most positive manner. So first, there's something amazing. So what does hair represent? What does hair represent? Beauty, right? Beauty represents, again, a certain sense of self, a certain sense of ego. So again, not necessarily even in an unhealthy way, but simply again represents one's grooming is the way that one ultimately amplifies or enhances or preserves one personal self sense of self. So amazingly enough, says Rav Hirsch, why are the Levium commanded to shave off all their hair? Now I wanna point something out. How many times was Shevet Levi obligated to repeat this process of shaving all of the hair on their body? This was a one-time thing, right? It was never repeated. So it's not like, you know, every single time a Levitic boy becomes a bar mitzvah, you know, we say, hey, mazel tov, you know, why don't you have a seat? We don't do that. So this is a one-time thing. So what's the nature, what's the symbolism? Rav Hirsch says something amazing. He says if hair represents a certain sense of self, it represents a certain sense of vanity, it represents a certain sense of ego, so the whole idea of Shevet Levi is Levi has no identity onto himself. Levi belongs to the Klal. Levi's entire destiny is to serve Klal Yisrael. And it's an amazing thing. And just so you understand, that's why Levi gives up everything. So what doesn't Levi have in Eretz Yisrael?
Land.
You understand, like, that's a major, major thing, right? Every other shevet gets land. Every other shevet has a chelik. Every other shevet has a portion. They have, and again, remember, it's tribal ancestral land. That's your land. You're going to give it to your children. Your children are going to give it to their children. It remains in the family, remains in the shevet. Levi has nothing. Where does Levi live? Well, every shevet is obligated to set aside some fields. Every city is obligated to set aside some fields on the outskirts where the Levium could live. But the truth is, and what? How do the Levium generate the parnasa? How do they generate profession? Right? What's their profession? Right? So the truth is, they get meiser, right? They get a tithe. What was the profession of Shevet Levi? So Shevet Levi, again, remember, many of them were Melamdei Dardiki. They were teachers. They were Rebbeim. They were the Moros, right? They were the educational professionals. So it says of Hirsch, the entire essence of Shevet Levi is a life of service. It is all about giving to the klal. So therefore, says Rav Hirsch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to impress upon Shevet Levi that your life is not about you. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Shave all their hair. Because what happens when you shave all their hair? You know, just so you understand this from a negative perspective, you know, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam B'Zichram. So what's the first thing they did when they went ahead and they brought the Jews to the camps? The first thing they did, shave their heads. Why? You ever wonder about that? So besides the fact that they had use for the hair, you know the amazing part about people with shaved heads is what? They all look alike. Because part of what the Nazis, Yimach Shemam B'Zichram, tried to do was deprive us of identity. Right? That was the whole idea with the branding of the numbers as well. The idea is you're not important, you're not an individual, you're just another person as part of a collective group. Now the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us that message and giving each other in a positive way though. He's saying that your life is not about the cultivation of your personal identity for you. Your life is about service to the klal. And therefore, again, you're going to give up some of those very things that make you look separate, unique, and distinct from everyone else. In this case, your hair. And by doing so, ultimately, again, you give up almost some of the ego. You give up some of the sense of self. You give up a life that is dedicated to the pursuit of your own happiness. And you dedicate everything you have, everything you are, to the service of the klal. Quite dramatic. So remember again, so Rav Hirsch is understanding, that's what I mentioned before, Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel, number 5, is all by himself because he's still sticking to his guns that no, it doesn't mean shaving the whole body, that's ridiculous, people are going to look silly. Rather, it just means a personal grooming. Everyone else is going to say that in fact is not the case. And Rav Hirsch says, no, this is a dramatic event that really highlights to Levi and to the entire klal the incredible mandate and mission that Shevet Levi has, a life of service and dedication to the klal. Take a look at number 7. Now, in number 7, now we begin to come to a different approach. So the Rabbeinu Bachai writes, he says, Ve'aviru tar akol b'saram, they shall take a razor to the entire body, afilu hazakan, even the beard, afilu hapeos, and even the peos. Remember, as was mentioned before, so remember, again, a Jewish man is not permitted to go ahead and shave his peos and certain parts of his beard with a blade. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to shave Shevet Levi, their entire head, their peis, and their beard, again, with a blade. See, he says, Hetinam taglachas kimitzora. Says the Rabbeinu Bechaye in number 7, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mandating a full body shaving, just like the mitzora. Just like the person afflicted with tzaras. Remember again, we learned this a few weeks ago, that the person who's afflicted with tzaras, at the end of his purification process, he shaves his entire body. So just like the mitzvah has to shave all of his hair, so too again, Levi also has to shave all of his hair. And he says, the Filuki number 8, the Sefer HaChinuch explains. Now remember, so what's this connection between mitzvah and Levi, right? They don't seem to have anything to do with each other. But yet, again, the Rabbeinu Bechaye is saying, the same way that the Metzora shaves all of his hair, so too the Levi shaves all of his hair. So what's the connection? So take a look at number 8. Right, the Sefer HaChinuch, Sheigalach HaMetzora is called Sa'aro, that the Metzora will shave off all of his hair. Uleviim tzrichen taglachas kimetzora. The Leviim require a shaving just like the Metzora. V'zeh hayo b'midbar. So now the Sefer HaChinuch says again, as we just mentioned before, this was unique and only occurred in the desert. So Mishrashi HaMitzvah, what's the purpose of this? Kitzas min atam sha'amarnu l'mala b'mayim, kedei sheyira ha'adam ki'ilu hayom nivra, v'hayom maschil sa'aro l'tzmoach. So the Sefer HaChinuch paints such a dramatically different picture. The Sefer Achinuch says that what happens when you shave the hair off a person, what do they look like? And the Sefer Achinuch says, like a newborn, like a baby. The idea over here, says the Sefer Achinuch, that we're trying to show that they are being reborn today. Now, what's the advantage of being reborn? Well, the advantage of being reborn is that you get to start all over again. V'yichadesh ma'asav l'tov. And when a person is reborn, he has the ability to go ahead and literally renew his actions for good. Ki bihiyos ha'adam minuka mikol se'ar. When a person literally is cleaned or is freed from all hair, as yinake yafa michol lichluch. Also, again, remember, there's no dirt or anything else that can ever get trapped on the body. Ulachin v'lachin ro'i lo la'aloso mitumas saraso la'asos v'atzmo ma'asa anekius b'chokocho k'dei shiyinake ma'asav ganke b'chokocho v'hafchi mirah l'tov v'yashir. So listen to this. Let's take a step back for just a moment. So remember, the Sefer HaKinuch over here is talking about the hair shaving, the shaving of the mitzora. So why does the mitzora have his body shaved? Why does he have all of his hair shaved at the end of his saras process? And the answer, says the Sefer HaKinuch, remember, who is the mitzora? Why did he get saras? Lashon hara, meaning he suffered a spiritual downfall. As a result of a spiritual downfall, he is exiled from the camp. Now he has to rehabilitate himself. So says the Sefer HaKinuch, what do we make him do at the end of the tzaras process? We make him shave all of his hair, because what is he supposed to look like? He's supposed to look like a newborn. And what's the message it's supposed to give him? You can start again. You can start all over again. The beautiful privilege that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us is that we always have the ability to start. So yes, Mitzora, you did some really bad stuff. You spoke Lashon Hara, you drove a wedge, you created a distance within Klal Yisrael, and therefore we had to drive you out of the camp. But lest you think that you are forever damaged, lest you think that you are forever tainted, it's not true, but rather you do in fact have the ability to start all over again. So therefore, now what Rabbeinu Bechai said in number 7, that why did we shave the hair of the Levi to resemble the shaving of the Mitzora? Oh, now I begin to understand the connection. Because if the shaving of the hair by the Mitzora is to do what? To show him that he has a new beginning. So why are we shaving the hair of the Levi? Why? It's a brand new beginning. This is not just simply a new chapter of life, but rather, this is a new life. You have the ability to start again. You have the ability to reforge yourself. You have the ability to make something magnificent out of your newfound destiny. So there's an interesting common denominator between the Mitzora and between the Levi, although again from two different perspectives. The Mitzora has damaged himself, right? He's tarnished his spirituality. He's tarnished his neshama. But yet, again, after undergoing the purification process, restorative process, tshuva process, he has the ability to once again start all over again. And says the Rabbeinu Bechaye, we do the same thing to the Levi. You are starting a brand new... When you are inducted into the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are beginning literally a brand new life. How do we impress that upon you? And the answer is, we go ahead and we have you shave all the hair on your body. Newborn, your mamish starting all over again. Interestingly enough, if you look at number 9, so the Sefer HaKinuch says, Ubetam Amayim. You ever wonder to yourself, it's interesting, right? Every form of tumah that we have, every single form of tumah, ritual impurity, although that you don't understand that, impurity is not really the right name for tumah, but we'll use it for tonight. So remember, how do you pure? Every single form of impurity requires what? Water, immersion in mikvah, right? Every single type of impurity. Now, some types of purification processes might also require karbanos, sacrificial services, as well as other things, but everything requires immersion in water. Why does water affect purification? So look at number 9. This is amazing. And the truth is, this is an incredible insight into mikvah in general, the concept that a mikvah purifies. Look at number 9. See, so he says, why is it that immersion in water purifies everything that is ritually impure? Achshov atzat hapshat, ki ha'inyon hu, kidei sheyira ha'adam es atzmo achar hatvila, ki ilu nivra ba'osasha. Because when you immerse in water, when you come out of that water, you are supposed to feel like you have just been recreated. Now, what does that mean? Listen to what he says. Kimo shehaya ha'olam kulo mayim terem hayos ba'adam. What was the world at the beginning of creation? Bereishis bara Elokim, as ha'shamayim ve'as ha'aretz, right? Ve'aretz ha'isa so vavohu, ve'ruach Elokim merachafes apnei ha'mayim. The entire world is water. So says the Sefer HaChinuch something amazing. When you go ahead and you immerse in the water of a mikvah, what you are doing is you are immersing in the primordial universal substance. You are immersing yourself in the very first element that existed in this world. So what are you essentially doing when you immerse yourself in water? You are immersing yourself in the very building block of creation. By doing that, when you come out of that mikvah, so what are you? And don't say Tameh, don't say Tar. What are you? You're reborn. You are literally starting all over again because you have literally enveloped and surrounded yourself in the primordial material of universal building. It's such an amazing insight. He goes on, he says, Ukimo Shekasov, Varuach Alokim Rachafes Apane Amayim, Vyiten Alibo Bedimyon, Ki Kimoshin is Chadish Begufo Yechadish Kinbabo Lusolatov. And a person has to remember the same way that my body is renewed, right? Literally, my body is in a new state. It was Tameh, and now it's Tahar. So do I have the ability to go ahead and reinvigorate and change my actions as well. Vyachshir Masov, Vyadaktik Bidarch Hashem Baruch Hu. So remember, according to this approach, and this is quite dramatic, it is a full body shaving of the Levium. Why? In order to go ahead and make them look infant-like. Why do we want them to make them look infant-like? In order to show them that they have the ability to start all over again. They are starting literally a new chapter of existence. Immersion in a mikvah, same idea. Surrounding myself again with water, representing the most basic building block of creation. When I surround myself in water, literally I'm being reborn again. Now, there's another possibility with this Mitzora Levi connection. Look at number 10. So Rashi points out something very interesting. Rashi points out, Ve'evirutar matzasi bediv Rabbi Moshe Adarshan. So Rashi writes, I found in the words of Rabbi Moshe Adarshan, lefi shenosnu kapara ala b'choros. Because remember again, as I mentioned before, so why is Shevet Levi inducted into the service of Hashem? Remember again, originally, Avodah, sacrificial temple, I should say temple service, was supposed to be done through the Bechoros, ultimately through the firstborns. But what happened, Rashi says, he says, Sha'avdu Avodah Zarah, so because the firstborns worshipped idolatry, specifically, they worshipped the golden calf, therefore again, the Levium are swapped in, Bechorim swapped out. So look what Rashi says. So, Lefi Shenasnu Kapar Ala Bechoros, Sha'avdu Avodah Zarah, so because the Levium were offered up to serve instead of the firstborns who worshipped idolatry, v'hi kiruya zivchei mesim, and idolatry is called offerings to the dead, v'hametzora karoy mes, and the person who has saraz is also considered as if they are dead. By the way, why is the person who has saraz also considered as if they are dead? Because they're cut off from the community. In Judaism, if you are cut off from the community, if you are disassociated from the community, that's as good as being dead. The Mitzora is Michutz Namachana, therefore he's also considered to be dead. Therefore, his kikam taglachas kimitzoraim. Therefore, the Torah mandated that the Levium be shaved just like the Mitzora. So this at first doesn't seem to really be logical. So just follow this argument for just a moment. Right? So the Levium are inducted into the service of God in the Mishkan instead of the firstborns, because the firstborns worshipped idolatry. Idolatry is called offerings to the dead or offerings of the dead, and the Mitzora is also called Mace, he's also called dead. So we have like a dead common denominator, right? There's an element of death by Avodah Zarah, by idolatry, which was the very purpose that the Levium were inducted into the service of the Mishkan, and there's a death motif again by the Mitzora, and therefore we say we take the process for the Mitzora and we apply it to the Levium. Just like the Mitzora has to be fully shaved at the end of his process, so too the Levium also have to be fully shaved. Now, the truth is, okay, so it's a dead common denominator. So, but what does that mean? Still, what's the connection between the Metzora and ultimately the Levi? So take a look at number 13. So the Chizkuni writes, Ve'viru ta'a kol b'saram, kodem hazor shlishu shvi kaper shashim asazir rosh adarshan. So Rashi points out over here, he says, I'm sorry, actually skip to 14, I'm sorry. So here I'm quoting to you from a beautiful sefer called the Mishkan B'Tzalo. So the Mishkan B'Tzalo is written by Rabbi B'Tzalo Radinsky, who's a Rosh Yeshiva in Muncie, a young man. So he wrote a beautiful sefer on Chumash, and in it he says something very interesting. Look at 14a. He says, V'hanira l'taretz hakol api yisod chashuv sh'ra'isi b'sfas emes. So he says, I want to explain to you this idea that the Levi'im need the full body shaving, based on the idea that I saw from the Sfas Emes. Ube'emesh shezacha b'darko lidroch b'darkon shalak hamonim, halo hu bal ha'akeda b'sharach av gimon. The Sfas Emes himself quotes from an earlier source, the bal ha'akeda. So listen to this. Shehevi sham yisod nifla, be'inyon l'kichas ha'bechora me'esav ayde Yaakov ino alav ha'shalom. And now here's what's interesting. You know, one of the most troubling stories in Bereishis is the theft of the birthright by Yaakov Avinu, right? We always wonder to ourselves, so first of all, it's a strange story on many levels. Why is it a strange story? So first of all, did Yaakov Avinu have to steal the birthright? Did he have to steal it? It was his, right? Why does he have to steal anything? He purchased it from Esau. Remember, again, for a bowl of lentils, a little bit of bread, it was his. So first of all, if it's his, why the need to steal it? So that's question number one. But question number two, which is the more troubling one, is why steal it? You know, meaning like what exactly are you doing over here? Now, granted, the easy answer is he was listening to his mother. That's the easy answer, because his mother instructed him, do what I tell you to do, and I'll bear all the responsibility for it. Fine, that's a simple. But still, again, why so much emphasis on stealing? First of all, why so much emphasis on acquiring the birthright? And why so much emphasis on stealing the birthright? Remember, again, the birthright that we're talking about over here in Bereishis is a spiritual birthright. It's the right to be the Abrahamic heir. Who is going to be the one who is going to inherit and perpetuate the legacy of Avraham Avinu? So could we imagine for a moment that it was ever going to be Esav? Could we imagine for a moment that it was ever going to be him? It had to have been Yaakov. It had to be Yaakov. So why is he going ahead and stealing it and bargaining for it and buying it? So look what he writes. He says, Ayin Sham, Shehevi Medrash Nifla Bebereishis Rabba, Parsha Samech Gimel. So he brings, Samech brings a beautiful Medrash. Ma Ra'a Yaakov, Shanosan Navsha Ala Bechora. Why did Yaakov risk his life to acquire the birthright? Amar, Yehei Rasha Omeid Umachriv, Ulefichach Nasa Navsha Ala Bechora. Because Yaakov even said to himself, could it be that I'm going to let that Rasha, that evil man Esav, sit here and destroy everything? I have to seize the Bechorah myself. V'ayin sham shebir sheYaakov Avinu lo haiselo kavana pratit rak neged Esav, ela kavanas amuka. So Yaakov Avinu is not just simply trying to acquire rights for himself. There's a much deeper kavana here. What's the much deeper kavana? He says, ela, excuse me, shelo ratzi Yaakov Avinu shabechorah tavo rak b'mikra, al yedei leida tivis. What Yaakov was concerned about was the fact we have to change the paradigm. You see, in biblical culture, who is the inheritor of the father? Who is the inheritor of the father? The biological firstborn. Did it matter about what the qualities of that firstborn were? Absolutely no, doesn't matter at all. What mattered was biology. If you were the biological firstborn, then you, by definition, were the material and spiritual inheritor. Yaakov said, That's not right. To be the inheritor of the Abrahamic legacy, to be a perpetuator of Torah, you have to earn that right. That right can't just be conveyed to you because you came into the world before younger siblings or because you're older than someone else. It has to be that if you are going to bear the mantle of the Abrahamic responsibility, that you are fit to do so. He says, paragraph B, Ella, Rotza Sheyavo Ayide Maisa Hishtadlus. Yaakovinu felt that the birthright should come to someone who earned it through effort. Ki efshar la'avdo rak machmas yichus avos, Because it's impossible to think that a person should inherit the birthright, that a person should inherit the mantle of responsibility simply because he was born first, or because he came into the world a little bit earlier. What does Yaakov Avinu do when he purchases the birthright and then steals the birthright? What's the message he's teaching all future generations? That Torah, spirituality, cannot simply be acquired through birth. That it's not simply an entitlement that becomes yours without effort. If you want Torah, if you want spirituality, if you want growth in life, what do you have to be ready to do? You have to be ready to work. Maybe not steal, right? But you have to be ready to put in the effort. That great spiritual accomplishment in life does not come about because you exited the womb before someone else, because you're the Bechor. Great spiritual accomplishment in life only occurs if you're willing to put in the effort. He goes on, V'gam Yaakov, now listen to this, V'gam Yaakov Avinu Alav HaShalom, Notel HaBechorah Min HaBechor, V'nasan LiYosef, Shehu Ayah Atzor Shebe Banim, V'afidu B'bnei Yosef Atzmo Sikel Es Yadav, Hagam Shebenash HaBechor. Remember, listen to this, Yaakov Avinu does it also. What does he do? Who is his biological firstborn? Reuven. Does Reuven get the Bechorah? No. Who gets the Bechorah essentially? Yosef, the second to youngest son, gets the Bechorah. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu felt he is the one who is Ra'ui. He is the one who is fit. And when he blessed Yosef's sons, remember again, even though Menashe is older than Ephraim, at the end of the day, Ephraim got the blessing before because Ephraim was more fit than Menashe. So says something amazing. That what's happening over here is Yaakov Avinu is trying to break the paradigm. The paradigm is that if you're biologically older, that creates a sense of entitlement. And Yaakov Avinu says that cannot be true. That cannot be the case. The only way you are able to acquire spirituality in life is if you're willing to work and to labor for it. But if you think it's an entitlement, if you think you're just going to get it, you'll never accomplish anything. Similarly, Avil Malchus, then Shevet Yehuda, paragraph C. So actually it's a different paragraph. So remember, he says even by Malchus. Interestingly enough, monarchy comes. First of all, we would have assumed that who would monarchy have come from? Who would we have assumed it would have come from? Reuven, firstborn, right? But yet it doesn't. It comes from Yehuda's son number 4. Not only that, but Yehuda, remember, has twin boys with Tamar, right? And remember, again, monarchy does not come from the first of those twins. Monarchy comes from the second of those twins. So says this HaSemis, you see over and over this paradigm that Yaakov Avinu tried to break, that if you think that at the end of the day, you're Yichus, your pedigree or your genealogy, or if you think the fact that you're firstborn is going to entitle you to some type of life greatness, that's not the way it works. If you want something in life, you need to be ready to fight for it. You need to be ready to work for it. You need to be ready to put in the effort. Paragraph C. C goes on. He says, Va'al kein, akra, osa Torah. I'm in the fourth line now. Umemela, hayu yecholim lachshav Yisrael. Skip down. Paragraph D. We'll go back and explain just one. V'lachin, Ramza HaTorah. Ki al yedei chamisha chum sheitor dehainu haTorah shebichsav vaTorah shebalpeh yachol haAdam lehiskarev leboro. So remember again, why is Shevet Levi elevated to their new position? Right? Why is Shevet? Remember, so the Bechorim we said lost their ability to do the avoda. Why? Why? Eagle, son of the golden calf. They worshipped idolatry. So they abdicated. So remember again, very dramatic lesson. Yes, you're the firstborn. And yes, you had important. But the moment that you abdicate your responsibility, the moment that you forsake your responsibility, you lose it. You don't have an entitlement that's yours no matter what. Yes, it was yours. It was given to you. But in order to maintain it, you have to earn it. You didn't earn it. Therefore, it's taken from you. And who is it given to? It's given to Levi. Why is it given to Levi? Because remember again, by the Cheta Egel, the only Shevet that did not participate in any way was Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi demonstrated their spiritual standing. So because of that, when God strips responsibility away from the firstborn, he gives it to Shevet Levi, who proved themselves to be worthy. Remember again, Levi is son number three. He's not the Bechor, he's not the firstborn. So why is he getting this beautiful designation of spiritual leadership? Why? Why? Because he earned it. Because he demonstrated that he was deserving of it. But watch this. He goes on. However, Lu'umas Zos, I'm in section D, three lines down. Lu'umas Zos, Hira HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gam Kein LeLevim, Debal Yachshivu, She'achshav Yesh Lem Yichus Toladi, V'afshav Lahem LeKalkel, Ela, right, V'afshav Lahem LeKalkel. So, but now here's the danger. The danger is that maybe Shevet Levi will begin to think to themselves, that's what, oh, we are the chosen tribe. And if we are the chosen tribe, then guess what? And the truth is, to a certain degree, this is kind of true. Because remember, again, how do you become a Levi? If he follows a Levi, right? How do you become a Kohen? So the idea is, it's not like I have to pass a spiritual proficiency test, right? Or somehow demonstrate my spiritual worthiness. It really is a genealogical designation. So it says the Sfas, lest you think that this means that because now it's been given to your family, it's yours no matter what, that you don't have to earn it, you don't have to strive for it. Listen to this. Lu'umas zos. So he goes on, he says, V'yev shalem l'kalka, ela ba'osa shah, shekiblu esa avoda min ha-bechorim, mipnei yichus atzmam shelo avdu le'egel. In that very moment, when Shevet Levi is given spiritual responsibility that was taken away from the firstborns because the firstborns worshipped idolatry, but yet Shevet Levi did not do so. Listen to this. Hera lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu shegam heim yecholim letamos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated to them, to the people, that they too have the ability to become defiled. That Shevet Levi also has the ability to lose their spiritual standing. V'lachein, hutzrichu osatara shel v'aviyu tara al kol b'saram. Therefore, God required them to run the razor over their entire body, shave their entire body. Laharos shegam heim yicholim l'tamos. So Sasana says something absolutely amazing. He says, what does the full body... Remember again, let's go back for just a moment. So remember again, the Mefarshim linked the Levi to the Metzora. The Levi to the Metzora. So remember again, we saw the Sefer Achinuch's approach, that what does that represent? The idea behind that is supposed to be that just like the Metzora has the ability to start again, so too the Levi starting again. All right, but then remember, what did Rashi say? Rashi said, the Levi came to replace the Bechorim. The Bechorim were swapped out because they worshipped idolatry. Idolatry is called Zivchei Mesim, worship of the dead. It says dead by idolatry. It says dead by the Metzora. Dead, come denominator. Just like the Metzora has to shave his entire body for purification process, so too the Levi must also go ahead and shave his entire body. But what does that mean? What's the connection between the Metzora and the Levi? What does the Metzora represent to us? What does the Metzora represent? Metzora represents human spiritual downfall. The Metzora is an individual who has made a terrible, terrible mistake and has divested himself of all his personal holiness. The Metzora is someone who has drained his very being of all of his holiness, and therefore what does he have to do? He has to start all over and spiritually rehabilitate himself. So look what the Sfas Emes says. So on this day when Shevet Levi is being inducted into the Kahuna, remember again, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach Shevet Levi a very important lesson, which was what? I'm giving you this privilege, but don't think it's yours no matter what. The moment you stop working for it, the moment you stop striving, the moment you stop growing, the moment you think that spirituality is just simply an entitlement and not something you have to work for, that is the moment that I will strip this privilege from you and give it to someone else. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu show that to them? With the full body shaving. The full body shaving is supposed to be reminiscent of the process of the Metzora. And just like the Metzora represents the individual who has divested himself of all of his holiness, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Levi, be careful, because you too could lose out on this beautiful opportunity. You too could divest yourself of all of your personal holiness. So and that was the message that was being given to Levi on the first day on the job. The privilege is yours, maximize it, but lest you think that it's an entitlement that's yours no matter what, Spirituality is never an entitlement. Spirituality is yours as long as you work for it, as long as you schwitz for it, as long as you put the effort into it. But the moment that you become lax, the moment that ultimately you take shortcuts, the moment that you divest yourself of your holiness is the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take that Kedusha from you and ultimately again vest it upon someone else. So if we bring this all together, we have a number of incredible interpretations onto this very strange and somewhat almost bizarre Levitic shaving. So remember again, let's just go through everything now again. We began again tonight with Rav Chaim Paltiel. So Rav Chaim Paltiel taught us that in fact, again, this was not a full body shaving, but rather just simply a grooming. Just simply a grooming. And the idea was, and again, so the contemporary lesson being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does put emphasis on our external appearances. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to take pride in how we look, how we present ourselves, how we conduct ourselves. Why? Because just like Levi are supposed to be the ambassadors for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael in the Mishkan, so to each and every one of us is the ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the greater world. The next approach you saw of Hirsch, that what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching the Levim? The shaving of all of the hair was supposed to represent what? A seeding of self. Life is not about me, says the Levi. Life is about service to the Klal. The contemporary message that although perhaps we're not obligated to go to this degree, but the mindset is very important, that the pinnacle of spiritual accomplishment for the Jew is when the Jew is able to put the needs of the other before the needs of himself. When my life becomes about my people, service of my people, service for the other, and not just simply about taking care of myself, that is the greatest zenith, the apex, the pinnacle of human accomplishment. We then went on to explain again the Sefer HaChinuch, and the Sefer HaChinuch said that the shaving of the Levi is modeled after the Metzorah. What's the message? That just like the Metzorah starts all over again, shaving his head, looking like an infant, going into the mikvah, surrounded by the primordial building blocks of the universe, it's a new beginning. So too the Levi is creating a new beginning. The message to us being, new beginnings are possible. It's a very important idea that often we forget. We think about it usually around Rosh Hashanah time, but you actually don't have to wait until Rosh Hashanah for a new beginning. Anytime I want a new beginning, that possibility is available to me. The ability to make a break with the past and start fresh, start new, is the most beautiful gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Shevet Levi, and in reality gives to each and every one of us, each and every day. And lastly, what the Torah is teaching us is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Levim to undergo the process of the Metzorah, the full body shaving, to take the lesson from Metzorah. Just like the Metzorah was a good person who lost his spiritual footing because of his mistakes, ultimately, for all of us, our spirituality is not guaranteed. No matter how much you've accomplished in life, no matter how much you've done, if a person makes mistakes, they lose their spiritual footing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not guarantee spirituality to anyone. Therefore, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Levi, remember, just like the Metzorah lost his spiritual footing, so too, if you're not vigilant, you could lose your spiritual footing as well. Therefore, we must make sure that if you want to remain the chosen tribe, if you want to remain the right hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you must be actively vigilant to preserve and to nurture your spirituality every single day. And this, of course, becomes an incredible and important lesson for us, a twofold lesson. Number one, as is expressed in the Mishnah in Avos, Al ta'amin ba'atzmachad yomosecha. The idea of do not believe in yourself until the day that you die. That no matter how much temptation a person has overcome, no matter how many challenges a person has overcome, a person is never beyond temptation, a person is never beyond challenge and making mistakes. A person must be ever vigilant. But more importantly, for our purposes tonight, is there are no guarantees with spirituality. You know, the greatest challenge we have in life is everyone wants to be spiritual. Everybody wants it. But what's the problem? Most people just don't want to work for it. So meaning, I'm going to sit on my couch, right? I'm going to open my heart, open my ribon shalom, fill me up. I'm like a kli, I'm like a utensil. I'm ready. I'll even put down the remote, right? I go ahead, right? Just fill me up with holiness. Fill me up with holiness, right? And again, it's a big issue because the truth is, we look sometimes to our teachers or to our rabbanim, you know, inspire me. So remember, no one else could inspire you except you. If a person wants to be a truly spiritual being, they need to take ownership over their spirituality. They need to take ownership over their soul. They need to take ownership over their life. They need to take ownership over the person you become. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Shevet Levi, and by extension, all of us. There are no guarantees with spirituality. There are no sureties with spirituality. But one thing is clear. you must take responsibility for making yourself the person you want to become. Levi, you guys are great now, but the only way you will remain great is you remain ever vigilant. Make sure that you always take the necessary steps to preserve and to nurture your spirituality, because at the end of the day, the responsibility for the people we are and the people we will become rests with us. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. And Eretz Hashem, next week will be our last shiur before the summer. We'll continue with Parsha next week. Really?
Yeah, we're in touch.